Good evening. Boy, I'm really excited to see such a nice big group of people tonight. I'm really excited about the Freedom Box, and basically what I'm here to do is to get you excited about it as well. I know most of the people here are computer users. You may say, well, what does this have to do with me? By the end of this conversation or the end of this talk, you'll have an idea of why it's so important that you guys get behind this as well, because Freedom Box is not just a neat, cool device to get on the internet, but it's also a way that we as a community are going to move forward with narrowing that digital divide between us and the non-disabled folks that have access to products and services that we currently don't have access to. Let me give you a little bit of history about us. The name of the company is In-House Radio Networks. We've been in business for about 3 years. We came to the market to create really cool, neat consumer gadgets. We created a product called the Radio Webcaster that some of you guys might have. The Radio Webcaster is a product that allows you to transmit audio from your PC to any FM radio in your home. And then you get a really cool remote control that you can change the radio stations from anywhere in your house without being in front of your computer. Now, when we put this product out, it cost $149, and we just put it out because we thought it was a really cool product. We put it out to the masses, and all of a sudden, all these blind people started buying this product. I mean, I could understand, because for me, being a blind person myself, getting online with this thing and just being able to punch up like I was sitting in front of my television set, a radio station, was really cool. You know, no websites to fight with or whatever. The typical mail with the remote control. Now I could share in that experience too, you know. And that product got reviewed in PC Magazine and in Yahoo Internet Life. And we got reviewed on CNN. It was called the product for the new millennium and all kinds of other cool stuff. And we sold about 1,500, 2,000 units. And I got to talk more to my people. I grew up in Miami. Miami has a population of blind people of about 20,000. It's amazing, because I only met about 5 or 6 of them in my entire life. You know, and half the blind people I met in my entire life growing up, I didn't want to hang out with. You know, and it's not that they're blind, they were just kind of dorky. And I didn't, you know, it wasn't that we're dorky blind people, they were just dorky people, and I didn't want to hang out with those people. And that's okay. I mean, you know, we meet people we like and we don't like all the time. I was mainstreamed after the second grade. And I was not really exposed to many blind people until I got online. And I went through a lot of struggles, as all of us have, in trying to get a job and trying to get trained in school and trying to get my books and all these other things. And when I got online, I found access to a community of people that had gone through the same things I had gone through. I also ran into a lot of people that had overcome a lot of the things I had, and a lot of people that had overcome things I hadn't. That was so important to me, because the internet has opened up my knowledge of who we are as blind people and who we are in the bigger picture as disabled people. It is so important when you're out there all alone that you can just get online and you can send an email to a friend, or you can pick up the phone and call your friend that you met online, even though you never met, and just say, hey, you know, this happened to me or that happened to me. Doesn't that stink? You know, or what do you suggest I should do? Or do you have a resource where I can find this or that? And the internet has created for me the knowledge of a group of people out there that I can talk to, that I can share experiences with. And that's the upside. Now I'm going to give you the downside. Out of all the blind people that exist in the United States, 12 million legally blind and 2.2 million totally blind to be exact, only 65,000 to 100,000 of us are online. And I would submit to you guys that there's a couple of reasons for that, and we're going to discuss those tonight. First of all, there's 58 million Americans that require some sort of access technology to access the internet. These disabled Americans represent $3 trillion with a T dollars of quote-unquote disposable annual income. The average person in this group brings in anywhere from $15,000 to $20,000 a year, whether they're on Social Security or not, whether they're employed or not. That's the average. That doesn't mean that everybody brings that in. They may bring in more or maybe a little bit less. These are numbers according to the U.S. Census. As I said before, there's 12 million legally blind and 2.2 million totally blind potential users of the computer out there. However, that being the fact that there's only 65 to 100,000 of us online, you sit there and you say, but why? It's such a huge group of people and the technology is there. Well, first of all, it's cost inhibitive. We as a community have been split into the haves and the have-nots. Those of us who desire to go out perhaps and get a job and are able to convince a federal agency or a local agency or an employer to purchase the equipment that we require, which runs into the thousands of dollars, have gotten the privilege of going on the internet. But those of us who have either chosen not to work or are homebound for whatever reason and require the internet, because the internet is a gotta have, not a wanna have for a disabled person, don't get this. Because first, when you run out to Best Buy to buy their $500 e-machine, that's not going to work with JAWS or Window Eyes as well as, say, a Compaq or a Dell. Why? Because eMachine changes their parts every other week. And that's not to knock eMachines. eMachines does a great job at what they do, and they've built a business on that, and that's wonderful. But as folks who use technology for the disabled, I could tell you, we need consistency in hard drives. We need consistency in motherboards and sound cards and video drivers and things of that nature. That way, it can make the job easier for the industry to develop around these particular products. So, what happens? We need to buy a $1,000 or $1,500 computer. Then, after that, we got to make this computer accessible. We either have to purchase Window Eyes, or we have to purchase JFW, or we have to purchase whatever your screen reader of choice or enlargement screen access technology of choice is, or Braille device. And that could run you anywhere. We won't even talk about Braille. We'll just leave Braille out of it. Everybody knows that that's darn expensive. But we'll talk about enlargement and speech software and say it'll run you anywhere from $495 to $1,500, depending on the operating system that you're running. So now your $1,500 computer is anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000, depending on what software you're running. You still haven't learned it, and you still haven't read a document with it. So for complete freedom, of course, a blind person or a low-vision person that can't read everything that comes in the mail needs to be able to read documents. But the lowest price document scanning software with the scanner on the market is about $1,000. So now your machine is either $3,000 or $4,000, depending on the operating system you're running and the software you've chosen for it. Now, let's say that you're able to get this money together, went out and you spent your $4,000 on this $4,000 paperweight. Because that's exactly what it is. Because you haven't learned it yet. A sighted person comes along and hooks up your computer for you, and of course, you anticipate that you're going to be able to put in that disk, boy, and you're going to just go. That's not the case, is it now? Okay, the case is actually that the catch-22 in this whole scenario is that you need to learn the operating system to learn the technology, and you need to learn the technology to learn the operating system. I mean, am I wrong?
No.
Okay, so this is the issue. On the other hand, let's look at what the non-disabled community has to do. They got to go buy a $500 e-machine, and they pop in AOL. And here's my 55-year-old mom. She's going to kill me for saying her age. And she's up and running and sending email and instant messaging everybody on a buddy list within an hour. What's wrong with this picture? And the reason I ask, you know, what has the internet been saying since its inception? Oh, this is a great thing. You can do your shopping online. Bring your products to your door. But guys, they're preaching to the wrong crowd. They're preaching to a group of people that can get in their car and run down to the local store. Okay, how about me? Or you, who's got to go down to the grocery store and deal with some kid who makes $5.25 an hour going, what do you want? You know, what are you looking for? You know, you can't ask the guy, well, what's on sale, ma'am? I need you to tell me what you need because I got to get back to work. And then the manager comes by every once in a while and says, good afternoon, I'm just checking in to see how you're doing. Basically, he's checking in to see when you're going to get out of here. I'm not dissing these people or being mean to them. This is just a fact of life, and we're amongst family here, right? I mean, we can talk for real. The internet, whether it was created for us or not, is great for us. I do most of my shopping online now. I did my Christmas shopping online when it's my anniversary or my wife's birthday or something or my kid's birthday. I'm able to go online and shop. But I've been doing computers since 89. I'm a computer trainer. I do computer software for a living and adaptive technology stuff. I know that if I go to a web page and this piece of software doesn't work, I can use that one or I can do this little trick or that little trick. There's 50 ways to skin a web page. Okay, but, you know, some of us just want to get online and get some email, maybe send some email to our grandkids or read some email from the grandkids and chat with some of our friends and maybe listen to some internet audio like ACB radio or whatever and some radio reading service audio, or maybe check the weather and listen to some newspapers and magazines, you know, that kind of thing. What about them? They don't have the time, money, or desire to spend $4,000 on a paperweight that then they got to struggle looking for training, because if you're not getting it for a job, you got to go pay $45 or $65 an hour to some trainer who's going to come out and train you. So you're looking more at the clock than you are at actually learning, because you're wondering how much this is all going to run. That's if you're lucky enough to have this training in your area. This is not only my observation from just sitting down and scratching my head and going, what am I going to do about this? There's a wonderful man that I heard give a speech. His name is Jim Stovall. And he started the Narrative Television Network. And he said something once in a talk that really, really touched me. And he said, you know, if you wake up one morning and say, why shouldn't somebody do something about this? And you don't do it, you missed your calling in life. And that made a real impact on me, because I saw this and it was such a huge undertaking, and it still is. Okay, that, you know, I can't do it alone. But if we band together as a community, because that's what the internet is all about. It's about communities. We can get these people online. How can we do this? Well, in reviewing this problem and talking to folks, and not only in the blindness area, but, you know, quads and paraplegics and folks with CP and just a bunch of different disabilities across the board, because I really got interested in this subject now when I got excited about the internet and I saw how many people were buying Radio Webcaster and what problems they were having. You know, I said, now, I got to find, first of all, the first problem, besides price, of course, is interface. What is a common interface that everybody knows how to use? Well, I came up with two. Everybody here knows how to use these two interfaces, and if you don't know, at the end, come on up and I'll teach you. It'll take me 2 minutes to teach you either one of these two interfaces, to teach you how to use them. Okay? And the first interface that I'm sure everybody in here knows how to use is their mouth. See?
Not more than others.
See? I'm hearing y'all using your mouth now. Okay? The other interface that everybody knows how to use here, especially being blind people, is the telephone. Yeah, isn't it funny? Isn't it funny how all your family members like come to you when they have a question about the phone? I don't know about you guys. They do that to me. Call Mikey. He'll know. Yeah, Mikey, oh, I knew you'd pick up the phone. So the first requirement that this product needed to have is it needed to understand somebody talking to it, and it needed to be as close to a telephone keypad as possible. How are we going to do this through a telephone or spoken word? I started looking for programmers. Reached far and wide. I've talked to a lot of programmers. A lot of programmers said, Mike, you're crazy. That can't be done. But I'm a dreamer, and I'm a visionary, I believe. And I just had that conviction that this is going to happen. I ended up in Novosibirsk, Russia, with a group of programmers from a company called Novosoft. And when I wrote them about this concept, they said, sure, we can do it. I said, do you know how? They said, no, but we're going to figure it out. And see, that's the kind of thinking I like. I can deal with that. I can dig that. Can you guys dig that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because it's that's the kind of thinking that we need. We need the I can do that thinking. The I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I know that where there's a will, there's a way. Kind of thinking. So I got together with these guys, and a year later, we have a product that's sitting right here that we can send and receive email. We can surf the internet. We can listen to audio, over 2,500 different audio feeds. We can listen to MP3s on the local machine and rip them from CDs and all that stuff. We can do online shopping. We can do online banking. We can do chat. We can do a whole lot of different things. And you're going to hear right now all with one product. Not for $5,000. Not for $3,000. Not for $2,000. Not even for $1,000. Okay, we're bringing you this product for $999. Right under $1,000, right? Yeah, I got to do my little Ron Popeil thing, you know. But, and if you act today, we'll send you a vegetable slicer. Actually, yeah, right, operators are standing by. This product will also scan documents. The basic system is $999. It's totally voice controlled. No mouse. No mouse.
There's no keyboard, I think.
No keyboard, if you don't want it. Some folks want the ability to type their emails. But let me go on the record saying that there will never, ever, ever be one function in this box that one way or another cannot be done by voice. It may be a little cumbersome sometimes to do that, and I can't promise you that it will be simple, but it will be possible. The keyboard here is only an option. It is for those of us who want to get around the system faster, but if you don't want to bother with a keyboard, if you don't want to learn a keyboard, you don't have to. The only thing that you can do with the keyboard that you cannot do without it is that you can type free-flowing text like an email. Remember, I said that there are 58 million Americans that require some sort of accessibility to get on the internet. Tonight, we're just going to talk about the blind community for a moment and say, can you imagine, I'm holding in my hand a Motorola cellular phone. Okay, this Motorola cellular phone is really cool. It's a GSM phone. It works in 163 different countries. Okay, it's got all the features you'd ever want. Plus, it even has voice activation. You can talk to it. It's voice activated. Much like the Freedom Box. So I like these things. But the problem is that if I want to set this phone up, I need to have a sighted person go through it. Guess what happened when I went to go tell Motorola about this phone? I'm sorry, sir. We don't do that in this office. You'll need to call our Schaumburg office. Then when you get to Schaumburg, sorry, sir, we don't manufacture those here. You have to call our West Palm Beach division. Then, sorry, sir, our West Palm Beach division doesn't receive those types of calls, but we can give you an address so you can mail something to. Or an email address. You see, 3 weeks after I purchased my Motorola phone, I laid my money down on the table, I was able to finally get a letter, I think, I never got an answer about it, to someone, at least I got the right lead, who could help me. And I'm not knocking Motorola. It's not Motorola's fault. And I'm going to explain why. Because for a year, I've been trying to get investors to invest in this company. And do you know what the first question any investor asks is? What's the market? What are the purchasing habits of these people? What do they spend? What do they like to buy? What did they buy in the year 2000? What did they buy in the year 1999? Do you guys realize that we have made ourselves such an involved part of society, and everybody here probably has some sort of a credit card, some sort of a bank account, some sort of a mortgage payment on a home or a car loan or whatever. Okay, but how many people's providers of services here know that they are blind? Very few, I would submit to you. Because we've been told for years and years and years to melt in and don't make any waves. But all of a sudden, our own trying to melt in and fit into society has come back and bite us in the behind. Because now what we've created is a group of people that says, listen, we're equal, but you need to make accommodations for us. And I would submit that accommodations are great. Accommodations are wonderful. But accommodations also put Braille on drive-up ATMs. Okay? And while Braille on drive-up ATMs is good, because if the only sober guy in the car is the blind guy and he's driving and he wants to go get some money, okay, you know, that's great. But here, let's be real. You know, yeah, right. You know, let's be for real, guys. Money talks and the rest walks. Okay? So, what happens? Let's take the same scenario. I got this wonderful, jazzy Motorola phone, right? Well, me and the other three blind people in the country that decided to go through the three-week process of trying to get somebody at Motorola, and then not being an obnoxious blind guy on the other line by the time they're so ticked off because they've had to get through to this person for 3 weeks, okay, and that person says, oh my God, another angry blind one, you know? Now let's turn that scenario around. Let's say, in theory, that there was a way that 150,000 of us, or 50,000, or 75,000 of us, could have a chat or a survey about what we would like to see in a cellular phone. And let's have a way to then take this information and provide it not only to the cellular phone manufacturers, but to USA Today, to New York Times, to Wall Street Journal, to Forbes Magazine. How long do you think it would take, brothers and sisters, for one of these product or service providers to start accommodating us for the real reason that they should? Because we're going to spend money with them, not because some legislation says you got to do it, and until you sue me to do it, I'm not going to do it. Does that make sense? Am I talking nonsense?
No.
Okay. It's one of the things Freedom Box is all about. Because when you look at any minority demographic in this country that has come to this country and made a name for itself, be they whatever nationality that has come to this country, okay, they have first created an economic infrastructure amongst themselves in a small neighborhood. They have then begun to introduce the outside neighborhoods to their needs and their culture, so that the outside people can participate in what? Commerce. Not accommodation. Commerce. And that's what this is all about. Remember, folks, on the internet, and most of you that are here are computer users and know it. Okay, we have made differences with Real Audio. We have made differences with Intuit. We have made differences at Adobe. We have made differences at Creative Labs, at Adaptech with Easy CD Creator, and I can go on and on and on. If 65,000 people can do this, what can 2.2 million do? 508 would be a thing of the past. Because, yeah, it's important, and I'm not knocking anything that anybody's ever done to bring 508 to come to pass, or 504, or 292, or anything else. I'm not a junior lawyer. I don't know all these numbers. Okay. However, they've done a lot of hard work, because when the end of the quarter comes and the balance sheet is there, okay, you know, if you obey the law or not doesn't keep the company alive. What keeps the company alive is, did we sell this product or not? A lot of companies suffer of ignorance, not stupidity. Stupidity is when you know where to go get the information and you don't. And folks, these guys don't know where to go. You know, I love meeting with people here. Okay, it's wonderful. It's a blessing to be able to sit with you guys and talk to you about this stuff. But it's also a curse, because if I want to do one product, one little $5.50 product, and sell it to the community at large, I can't do it. Because I got to go to focus groups, and I got to go to conferences, and I got to go to rehab agencies, and I got to go. Come on now, guys. The Pony Express is something of, you know, the 1800s. We got the internet. We got access to the internet. So let's go out and let's tell people about the internet. Our goal one day is to have our link right up there on a consumer-purchased desktop machine at Best Buy, where our system comes preloaded. And if a person buys this computer, they open it up and they say, wow, Grandma, you can use this computer now, because it's got a Freedom Box in it. And the Freedom Box logo is sitting in there. And they understand that Freedom Box means freedom is in the box. Okay, and that with nothing else, at least they will have access to the internet and all these things. We're working with companies like Speechworks and Microsoft and IBM to develop these things and to Freedom Box enable a bunch of products. And you'll be hearing about that at the website and seeing that. And I don't want to go into too much of that because I want to get to the demo. But our goal is to Freedom Box enable as many products. So you're going to see a bunch of different interfaces for Freedom Box that will allow you access to the Freedom Box community anywhere you go. One of the things that we're working on, and don't tell anybody, it's a Freedom Box interface for a PDA cell phone, okay, that will allow a cell phone to talk and allow you to talk to it. Can you imagine having a Freedom Box sitting in a train station and you'd be able to walk up to it and it says, hello, I'm the Freedom Box at the Amtrak station at so-and-so. please tell me what would you like to hear information about? Would you like to hear departures and arrivals? Would you like to hear this? Or would you like to log into your Freedom Box account and check your email? And we could do that and at the same time just put a screen on there for the sighted folks. And they can have access to the same stuff and they get to enjoy the talking to the internet too. Because you don't need to train the Freedom Box. It's speaker independent. I believe that it's not going to be too far off, maybe in the next couple of years, that Bill Gates is going to convince America and the world that it's a heck of a lot easier to talk to your computer. You know, and I want to say something for the record. And some of you guys may think I'm crazy for saying this. You know, somebody asked me at a conference, actually it was one of these types of get-togethers a couple days ago. They said, Mike, aren't you concerned about that? Aren't you concerned that one day access technology is going to get better and eventually it's going to put you out of business? And you know what, guys? I pray for that day. I want that day to come so bad I can taste it. This company is here to fulfill a need. This company is here to create a bridge. Hopefully one day that bridge won't be necessary because we'll all be on the other side. So I don't really care if Freedom Box closes down in 5 years. If it does, it means that the goal has been achieved. If we have no more customers in 5 years, it's because everybody can access everything. So that's great. Our mission was done. In the last couple of seconds I have, I want to tell you about a couple of different things that we're doing for the future that are not available yet, but they will be very, very shortly. The first thing that we're doing is something called the Product Access Project. Okay, you may have seen about the Product Access Project on some of the lists. A girl named Shelley Proux out of Boston, Massachusetts started it. And what productaccess.org, which is the URL for this project, is going to be a publicly accessible database of information on different consumer products. Everything from label information to accessible documentation to 800 phone numbers to the actual, the UPC code available for the product. All of these things, all in one page, and even emails and the websites for the actual sites that produce these products. So if you find that you bought a macaroni and cheese from your favorite macaroni and cheese maker or a bag of potato chips, how many times haven't you wanted to write the manufacturer of those potato chips and say, man, you put too much air and too little chips in those things? Okay, you know, and now you can do that, you know, just like any other consumer can, because they can read the label and says, if you have any problem, call this 800 number, but it's not in Braille or it's not large print, so you can't read that, you know, and if a person's hands don't work, they can't pick up the box or the bag and read that little tiny print with that information. Okay, so now we're going to provide it online and anybody can go to that. Okay, you don't need to be a Freedom Box member to do that. The other thing that we're doing is, I understand for those of you that love the 508 and everything, that is great and it's going to happen. But all the talk that's going around shows that 508 is only going to prove itself in the next couple of years. Okay, because 508 is a reactive law. You have to react and you have to sue and you have to complain before anything is ever done according to 508. We don't want to wait around for people to get sued. We want to try and do something now. Okay, we want to give people answers to the problem. We don't want to create legal problems for people. So what we're trying to do as a company is we're partnering with an e-commerce partner and with a couple of banks to provide not only online bill payment services and online banking, but also we're trying to create a standard. And what this standard does is it will put a button that will be labeled appropriately next to each and every product on a regular website's page. Okay, so for example, let's say you went to, we'll say Amazon.com, and you are a member of this community, of the disabled community, and you've registered to use our special shopping cart service. Okay, what would happen is you would run a special applet in your machine, or your Freedom Box would tell you when you got to this website that it's accessible with the Freedom Box shopping service. And as you go through that website and read the descriptions of the products, next to their add to shopping cart buttons, if you can read them, there will be our add to shopping cart buttons. You click on ours, you add it to your shopping cart. When you want to check out or check on what's in your shopping cart or whatever, you click and you go to it'll always take you to the same kind of interface. It'll always take you to the same kind of form. It'll always look the same. You can always add or remove products exactly the same way from your shopping cart. And then at the end of the shopping experience, you can then check out, and it will give you, again, it will give you default information. If you want to give your credit card number, you can do it. If you want to give it at the time of purchase, you can do it. But it's all one type of form. Every time you go to any site that participates in this service, whether you're a Freedom Box community member and have a Freedom Box or the software or not, you can go ahead and access this form. It will check you out. It will do all the back-end work with the server of that organization and create the order for you with them. It'll act as your, basically as your interpreter for that site. And you'll only have to deal with one particular interface. Are we going to be able to do it with everybody? I don't know. I hope so. You know, until at least they all get the picture and they all start saying, wow, look at how many stores these folks have online and look at how much products they're buying. Of course, we're not going to sit there and say, well, you know, Mike bought a VCR and then Doug over there, he bought a DAT machine or a TV. You know, that's not all information would be kept confidential. And, you know, and our privacy statement would state that. Not only upon when you signed up, but posted on our website. So you don't have to worry about that. But we do need to give up a little bit of information about ourselves to be able to inform these folks that we're here, we have money to spend, and we want to spend it with them. And if they'll simply take the time to accommodate our needs, not because it's a feel-good thing and because they feel bad for us, because, you know, those poor blind folks or those poor handicapped folks, you know, we need to do something, and we'll have a little corporate fundraiser, and we'll do this and that. But because they want us to do that. Can you imagine how many folks here have trouble reading the information on certain packages? Okay. Can you imagine? I was at a meeting the other day in New York, and they told me about a store in New York that is now putting all the labels on its clothes and pricing and stuff, and its perfumes and its candles and all that, in Braille also. Okay. Can you imagine if some soup company or vegetable maker said, you know, we want to target the people who need large print on their cans. So we're going to put larger print on our cans. And what we would do is we would then put a message out on the Freedom Box. Hey guys, all 150,000 or 250,000 or a million or whatever users, so and so soup company is now making larger print on their cans. You see, and that's the way that these companies are going to start understanding, because then, of course, you're going to go out and buy that stuff unless it's really nasty tasting, which I doubt it. You know, but, you know, encourage your friends to look at this product. Encourage, talk to them about the website. Be open with us. Be direct. I want to hear both good and bad. I developed this product from talking to people like yourselves. It's not like I don't want to continue to hear. And like this company is not dedicated to continually upgrading and upgrading and upgrading until we can finally make an accessible internet solution for everybody that will work for you, whether you're disabled or you're not. Folks, I mean, I'm speaking to you from the heart when it comes to this. I look at this box every day, I demonstrate it, and I'm amazed. This is a God-given gift to us as a community. It's not for me. It's something that I really felt that God just opened the doors and showed me the people and continues to bring me in front of folks like yourselves and continues to honor me with the ability to talk to you. And I really feel honored that you guys all came out tonight to spend time with me. You didn't have to do that on a Friday night. And I thank you for that. And please, the doors are always open. The email's always there. And when it's not, bring me to accountability, because that's what I'm here for. I'm a member of this community, and I use these products, and I use these services just like you do. So if you're suffering, of course, I'm going to suffer. And no man is an island. I can't do this alone. I need each and every one of you guys. So I challenge you tonight to go out, and each one of you tell two or three people about it, and let's see if we can make this thing happen. That way, whenever anybody else needs to promote a product, they don't need to run around to focus groups. They can actually do it through one platform.